Could stock investors enjoy not a repeat, but a hat trick in 2015?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update coming to you from Washington today. In the last week, the Dow Jones Industrial Average has risen, as of early this morning, precisely 1,000 points. This after Federal Reserve policymakers were studiously noncommittal about raising interest rates, although the spike in gross domestic product reported yesterday for the third quarter could bring rates higher soon. Now, after stocks rose so much in 2013, some investors were leery about this year, yet I just calculated the S&P 500 is up just under 15% New Year's to now. I asked David Leibovitz, global market strategist at J.P. Morgan Funds, to lay it on the line about 2015, and he thinks prices will generally be up.
We'll see, you know, high single digits, low double digits in 2015. All that being said, the key part of this equation is earnings, because any deterioration there would signify that perhaps this market doesn't have as much room to run as some of us previously thought.
So not quite what we've been seeing the last couple of years, but you're thinking it still could be a decently strong stock market as we move forward.
As long as companies continue to make money, investors should be willing to pay more. I think it'll be important to watch the fourth quarter earnings season, see the effects of a stronger dollar and lower oil prices on corporate profits. As long as companies are generating a solid cash flow, that makes them a better investment and much better than high-quality fixed income.
Even with these low oil prices, I mean, that can hurt energy company stocks, and that can be a drag on the market in the new year.
What lower oil prices do is they put more money in the pocket of the consumer. And in a consumption-driven economy like the U.S., where consumption accounts for about 70%, that's a much stronger force than what may be going on in the energy sector specifically.
David Leibovitz, global market strategist at J.P. Morgan Funds, thank you so much.
It was my pleasure. Thank you.
We also have word today that prosecutors in South Korea have indicted the CEO of Uber, the San Francisco-based company where customers summon rides using their smartphones, facing bans from India to Spain. The new problems in Seoul, where we find the BBC's Steve Evans. Hello, Steve.
Good day to you.
What is this? The CEO of the car service Uber is under indictment in South Korea?
He is. Travis Kalanick is charged with violating transportation law in South Korea. And the argument is that he's the CEO of the company which breaks the law, so the South Korean authorities say. Uber has been facing bans in Thailand, in India, in Spain, and in Holland. When you get a new technology threatening an old technology, you have the laws in place for the old technology, and the new technology comes and bumps up against those laws. And what sometimes happens, if a new technology is very effective, is that the law gets changed slowly.
But indictment of the CEO? I mean, if Kalanick got on a flight from San Francisco to Seoul, would he get busted if he got off the plane?
I mean, the indictment isn't there now. This is what the prosecution is suggesting. But absolutely, if he travels into this jurisdiction as somebody indicted by a court, he could be arrested and put before that court. He's facing lots of arguments in lots of jurisdictions. And each time he says, we do it legally, and furthermore, the people love us. So it's the same kind of dispute, if you like, as is happening in lots and lots of places.
The BBC's Steve Evans in South Korea. Steve, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Hi, this is David Brancaccio, host of the Marketplace Morning Report. Marketplace has been on the air for 25 years, and that could not have happened without support from listeners like you. So please, if you can, make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today and help us keep our coverage relevant and compelling. And you should know that your gift, really in any amount, counts twice thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from the Candida Fund. Donate at marketplace.org by December 31st and help us reach our goal of at least 2,500 donors. Thanks for your support. From the point of view of Santa's elves, what we have next is a case of mission creep. First, arranging all the gifts, but now somebody's supposed to deliver the tree to people's houses. Marketplace's Annie Baxter now on the business of direct-to-the-home Christmas tree delivery.
In the days leading up to Christmas, one of Santa's elves has been making stops at homes like this one in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Hi, Brandon. Merry Christmas.
Are you Brandon?
I'm Brandon the Elf.
Okay,
yes.
Brandon the Elf, aka Brandon Johnson, is clad in tight yellow pants and a green tunic. Johnson explains that his boss, Santa, sets the dress code.
Well, I mean, these were, you know, a uniform issued straight from the North Pole, and so that's just what Santa requires for us elves.
Johnson's here to deliver a Christmas tree. He takes his customer, Susan Noakes, to his truck to check the tree out. It's a 7-foot Fraser fir.
Oh, yes. I think this is going to be great
That's
for your
gorgeous.
Place.
Yes, and it has a wonderful smell.
Included in the $130 delivery package is the chance for Noakes' 8-year-old granddaughter, Ollie, to rub elbows with Santa's helper.
How old is Santa Claus?
Oh, I don't know if anybody actually knows. He's getting up there. He's old.
Johnson is no stereotypical elf. He's an athletic 29-year-old who's a lumberjack most of the year. He runs a business trimming and clearing trees, just not the ones he delivers at Christmas. He buys those at a tree farm. Johnson came up with the idea of his holiday side job, called Santa's Tree Delivery, to offset the slow period of his lumberjacking work.
We need something to do in the winter when it gets too cold and snowy to climb trees. So essentially, I take all my guys from my tree business for the rest of the year, and we just transition from lumberjacks to elves.
Johnson and two of his elf pals have delivered roughly 100 trees around the Minneapolis-St. Paul area this season. He says the big trees are the most profitable. You can charge as much as $450 for a 16-footer. Johnson has a whole shtick going for his business. In addition to wearing the costume, he often blasts Christmas carols when he arrives at a house. Johnson hopes to ramp up the business next year with a big marketing campaign and more man, or elf, power to speed the deliveries. Maybe even out of state. In St. Paul, Minnesota, I'm Annie Baxter for Marketplace.
And a few minutes ago, the Uber South Korea story will end with Uber Australia. The California-based company has now officially apologized for jacking its prices as people used its service to flee downtown Sydney, Australia during that hostage crisis last week. Truly sorry, Uber says, for rates quadrupling during the crisis. It did drop prices back down after complaints of price gouging when people wanted to get home as Sydney went into a kind of lockdown. Uber uses an algorithm to raise prices when demand goes high. You can see the algorithm in action for yourself by ordering an Uber car on New Year's Eve. In Washington today, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.